Say good morning to the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. That's Dean Ingram. Dean, you're on the air.
Good morning, Patty. I understand you're looking to speak with me.
Well, we were talking about extracurricular sports in the schools, and I was kind of wondering, the news release is a little bit confusing insofar as anything actually changed, or they're just leaving it up to schools based on what they think they can accommodate.
Well, our understanding is right now the NLESD, and again, we do have issue with this move. It's consistent with our messaging we've had since March about the concerns you have about the discrepancy in safety between our school system and other public venues. But at the same time, just as with all extra and co-curricular activities, it's a school-based decision as to what happens in the schools. And within that context, it's the teacher's discretion as to what degree they get engaged with that activity. We would encourage all schools, and while we do think that this move is counterproductive in the time when we're seeing an enhanced screening protocols we see across the country and upticks in cases as schools open up, Quebec being one obvious example. Now, this province is in a great place today, and we'd like to keep it that way. But fundamentally, this decision, we think, runs somewhat contradictory to some of the moves to ensure our COVID levels remain low. And we feel, but at the same time, it is a school-based decision as to what activities can occur. It's a teacher's discretion or any employee within the school district to decide what they'll be willing to get engaged with, contingent upon their own comfort level with that.
What increased risk with the additional extracurriculars would be a heightened risk compared to simply being in the classroom or on the bus?
Well, again, we've had some measures there, too. We've been pretty consistent in mentioning what's required in the classrooms and the busing range and so on. But as you open up the schools to allow additional activity levels, to additional mixing of the cohorts, all those things there, again, people, space, time, place, that mantra. The more people you bring in, the more you open up the school system, the more contact you have between and among students, the greater the risk of transmission should we get it. Granted, at this place, this province is in a great place because we've been adhering to strict and stringent measures. Our members have expressed concern that with this move, it may create a potential for an uptick in cases should it arrive. And that's the heart of why we feel that this move runs as a counterproductive one. It could lead to increased cases. And we think that at the end of the day, each school should feel completely comfortable in deciding what they feel can be done safe within their environment. We also feel that each and every one of our members and school employees at large should feel completely comfortable exercising their rights to choose to participate or not as they see fit based on the situation as they see it.
What would you say to someone? Because when the folks that were out there asking for more of these sports to be allowed to be played, extracurricular activities allowed to take place in the province of schools, their argument would be something like this. Well, the same children are going back to their neighborhood and playing with their friends who might go to different schools. The same children are now going out to play in their private basketball camps or their minor hockey associations. So the risk has already been there. The bubbles have, for all intents and purposes, been burst all over the place. So why would it be any different in school than simply going to play minor hockey? The association I'm involved with, I think we have like 12 schools represented.
Again, yes, but here's one of the key differences there.
Okay.
If you go to that rink, twin rinks, to the Roger Bussing. It might not be called Roger Bussing now, but just...
It's Yetman Arena, yeah.
Yeah, that arena there. Any hockey rink, there are measures and protocols that have to be adhered to in the return to play in those venues. I go to a local gym. I won't name the measures put in place there when I go in the clientele going through that. The measures in there are much more stringent than we see in any of our school gymnasiums. Because all these things there. This is the heart of our concerns, that
Fair.
The measures that are demanded in those avenues, the local hockey rink, the local gymnasium, the local YMCA, or whatever the case may be, there are measures put in place there where you do have mixing that are not in place within our schools, which is why we feel that this move to further expand activities within our schools without coupling that with enhanced safety measures, as we see in the hockey rinks, as you referenced. And that's one of the discrepancies between the two venues.
That's a fair comment, because the return to safe play, the document is long, the measures are specific, and they are strictly enforced. So that's a fair reply to that concern. I want to move on to just one other topic before we run out of time this morning. You know, we've been talking about all these task forces that are going on, and I really firmly believe that if you stand back and look, education plays a role in the positive outcomes we're looking for economic recovery and, yes, inside healthcare. When they're talking about social determinants and the level of education people have and the need for a cultural shift, attitudinal change, What would you like a seat at the table, and what role do you think education will play in this long 10-year vision?
Education has a critical role to play in virtually every aspect of our province's society. I think you said it very well this morning. While it may not show up on the list of priorities and people assess their budget, every one of those priorities in the business world, in the health world, and so on, fundamentally are greatly affected by the degree to which we have a supportive education system. I think education is a key part of that. Health outcomes, as one of those sources of degree of education, has a huge impact degree to which people maintain healthy lifestyles. I think there is a role for education and education represent and stakeholders play in this development, without question. We can look one thing that's been a key concern for a number of years, certainly a key concern before COVID. It's a magnified and crystallized during COVID, student mental health. That's absolutely something that needs to be addressed. And from an economic model, I would suggest this is that which is the more cost-effective way to deal with student health, providing the access to services they need while they are youth, or is it more expensive to actually have to deal with the healthcare system when they become adults? In the justice system, is it more efficient to deal with those as youth in the school system and provide the counseling services that they need then, or possibly having them end up in the justice? There's all these things that ripple through. When you invest in education, you invest in society. I think that, and there's numerous pieces of research. And in fact, I sent you a link to a body of research we've compiled that actually shows the economic benefits of investing in education for the long-term prosperity of the province.
I mean, and I've been talking about that for a lot. And again, don't pretend to be an expert in the field, but people like yourself will always be sending me links with surveys, questionnaires, academic research, peer-reviewed stuff. So that helps me try to form what I hope to have as an informed opinion versus just making stuff up on the fly. I think we've got to wrap our mind around it because, for instance, if you look at even what early childhood education looks like, jurisdictions with junior kindergarten have real heightened focus on the rate of pay and seats available for early childhood education in a daycare setting and in a more formalized setting. Their outcomes are better. Their outcomes are markedly better, demonstrably better, and consequently, you have people who more and more will move on into further training and or education post-secondary-wise. The outcomes 10 years, 12 years, 15, 20 years down the road make a big difference. It will indeed come with an associated price tag, but it looks to me like that price tag is well within the realm of possibility in this province and probably mandatory if we're talking about a recovery. That is not going to be tomorrow. It won't be overnight. The healthcare plan is a 10-year vision, so we've got to have education play the role that it absolutely should. And when folks, unless you have a kid in school, you probably don't think much about it. But the healthier tax base, the direction the province takes, the creation of the jobs, will be part and parcel and hand in glove with education. So let's start putting that a little bit higher up the priority list when people are asked about what's important, because everything above it is impacted directly by education. I'm going to stick with that saying.
Pat, make one last point before I go, because sure. I understand you probably got a queue of callers, that one of the hallmarks that was announced in our standard budget was a need to enhance immigration patterns in this province. When you attract immigrants and bring young families, one thing to get them into the province, but it's more important to keep them in the province.
Sure.
A young family with children that immigrate to this province as their first starting point, one of the things that will largely determine whether they decide to stay in the province is the degree to which they feel their children are getting a quality education. If we provide them with a quality education, we're more likely to retain them. If we don't, that's when those same individuals may enter Canada from Newfoundland, but they'll set up shop in another part of the country where they feel their children are being better served. We need them, and we can't afford to lose them.
Appreciate your time this morning, Dean. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's Dean Ingram. He's the NLTA president.